Back to another episode of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, the GOAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, with my co-host, Dr. Hal Gordon.
A drug.
And today we have the publisher and founder of Vital Vegas. It's probably the source for Las Vegas news. If you want to go, you can check it out at casino.org/Vital Vegas. Follow him on Twitter too. Great follow on Twitter. His name is Scott Robin. Scott, how's it going, man? How you doing?
No, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. And your check is in the mail for saying it's the source for Vegas news. I appreciate it.
It is, man. It's like, because, you know, the past year or so has been pretty hot and heavy. So it's been cool to follow you and even just see what else is going on around the strip. You know, it's kind of funny. And there's always something funny going on in Vegas, you know, so.
Yeah, well, people don't know it's funny until I make it funny. Because sometimes it just seems sad. Like F1, but if I make it funny, it's tolerable. Same thing with the A's. I hope we get to talk about the A's today, because that's one of those where it seemed semi-serious in the beginning for about a week. And then ever since, just been it's been gold for me, because it's all been very funny. A mixture of kind of comedy and tragedy, which is my sweet spot. The yin and yang of, you know, connecting dots and talking to sources and, you know, putting things together. I'm a big fan of calling out BS, and that's pretty much what the whole debacle has been. So it's been right in my sweet spot. You know, you got the Las Vegas Review Journal, they do straight reporting. Other outlets kind of do just straight reporting, and they pretty much just repeat what they're told. But I can say things they can't. I can talk to people that they don't. So that, you know, it's like, that's what I bring to the table, is because I'm kind of independent of all these companies, I can give my straightforward observations. Whereas for them, if they burn somebody or say something negative, they lose access. So if you're, you know, the sports guy at the Las Vegas Review Journal, you can't say the ballpark is not happening, because you lose access to the team. You lose access to the companies involved. But I don't need access to those specific people. I have sources of my own. So answer to a short question, which is what I'm known for. Long answer to a short question.
Well, that's great for the pot. Well, recently I saw you've been tweeting that you're pegging the odds at 90%. If they start playing in Sacramento next year, do you think it's 90% chance they actually stay there? So from what you're hearing, is the deal in Vegas pretty much kaput at this point? Or what?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, anything's possible, but the odds were, before Sacramento, the odds were like 60-40. Now I think it's 90. There's a 90% chance Vegas falls through and they stay in Sacramento, to be honest. I don't even think we get to the construction phase in Vegas, because it's like, you know, it's a house of cards. Part of it was the tax money I think we are all in agreement that the owner of the A's has no interest in putting any of his own money into this project. So then you got to figure out who's going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So in Sacramento, they've got this minor league baseball owner who I think owns maybe a basketball team too.
I think it's the Kings, the Sacramento Kings, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Well, I am a noted sports expert. So anyway, that's my disclaimer. It's like, I don't really know. I don't know who these people are, other than that I hear about them from people who actually know. Sometimes in the room, sometimes very familiar with the room, sometimes a different room, but same set of people. So I think that he's a friend of the owner of the A's. I think they have a kind of a long-standing relationship. That's how they end up in Sacramento. I don't think they're charging. The impression I get is they're not charging the team for playing there for 3 years, which is a really good deal, but it's not a charity. So they're doing it for a reason. And I think they went to Utah. Utah saw the opportunity. I think Sacramento saw the opportunity. And the opportunity is based on that Bally's Corp, the company that operates everything above the ground, at the Tropicana site is just does not have any there's no way for them to contribute to the financing of a ballpark or to build a resort. So, but what you do have in Sacramento is the site that I think is where they're going to play is right next to the Hard Rock Casino. So the Seminoles have money to burn. I've heard that they have offered to help build the ballpark. Who knows? It might be a naming rights thing as well. But I think there's really competent people with the ability to finance something in Sacramento where that does not exist here. So that's my take, and that's the take of the people I talk to, is once they're in Sacramento, I think they will be very enthusiastic for Major League Baseball, and I'm not sure that's the case in Vegas anymore with this team. It's kind of that momentum, that enthusiasm that you have to sell 30,000 seats per game. Yes. it just doesn't exist in Vegas anymore. The market isn't big enough. The TV market isn't big enough. I mean, you guys know these layers. I'm literally acting like an expert when I'm talking to actual people that do a podcast about sports. But, you know, that TV deal, it's key in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Again, the A's ownership, they don't want to put any money into this process, and they don't want to lose money in this process. So you keep the TV deal. Vegas it's a small market. So these whimsical ticket sales numbers based on nothing, that's not going to help. And it's just never going to come to fruition. You're going to lose Bally's Corp as a partner, probably for the best, because they seem out of touch with reality. You've got the owner of the land, but the owner of the land is not building a ballpark or a resort. So now you've got potentially an empty lot for sale where they probably will build a resort, but I don't think there's going to be a ballpark on that site. I think down the road, if there's an expansion team discussion or another team we might be able to get, it'll be on the Rios site, but that's many, many years down the road. But I don't think this project gets passed. They might have a groundbreaking, but there's no room to think there's any financing for a ballpark or a resort at this point. So I'm calling them the Sacramento A's. until I hear otherwise. I guess they aren't even officially going to call them the Sacramento A's, but that's fine.
They're just the A's. Yeah, they're just.
Yeah, just the A's.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to, Scott, I don't want to put down your maybe obsession with the casinos too much. I think if they stay in Sacramento, that casino is like 37, 40 minutes north of the city. I think that they'll build downtown. You know, that's what they always do nowadays, is they build these baseball stadiums downtown. So I don't know about that, but.
Well, I shared the picture of the location. So check my Twitter account. And it is not in Sacramento proper, but if you don't think that a casino offering to pay for most or all of the ballpark is a reason to go there, why would Koval care if people have to drive a half? Who cares? They're going to build them a ballpark. Come on.
Yeah, it's like the Yuba City. They'll be the Yuba City A's. That's like the closest town up there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, it's just been shocking how much trouble it seems like that they've immediately had in Las Vegas. Scott, like, what are the reasons? Like, what are the reasons that this has not happened? What is the reasons that they haven't been able to find people to help finance, it seems like, right?
Yeah, well, I think the first signs of that were with the Raiders. Because the Vegas Golden Knights, everybody looks at the Vegas Golden Knights as this huge success that other bigger teams, obviously more popular sports, can replicate. Well, that's just not true. And when the Raiders came, it was actually, there was a lot of excitement, but it was amazing to see how few of the players, and by players, I mean, you know, the people, the movers and shakers, how few jumped on board supporting the Raiders. Like, the official hotel of the Raiders is M Resort. Like, that is not, most people have never heard of that. It's not MGM. It's not Caesars. Like, many very sports forward casinos wanted nothing to do with sponsorship, advertising, investment. It was a very strange phenomenon. With the A's, from day one, the most powerful people in Las Vegas in the casino industry were saying, these are not serious people. That was literally the first thing they told me. These are not serious people. This is an imaginary ballpark. This isn't even paraphrasing. And these are the people who are in the meetings, and the A's are showing their slides or whatever, their deck, and they're leaving this meeting going, I will never do business with this individual, with this team. And these are the people who you would think would rally around it, especially some who have rooms across the street on like three sides. Like, wouldn't you want to jump in that and make sure it happens? But that momentum is not there. So I think a lot of it goes back to casino executives, especially, have really sensitive bullshit detectors. Mm-hmm. So in those first meetings, it was just all bullshit. And it still is.
It sounds like the A's. Sounds like Dave Cavill.
Yeah, if you look at the renderings that this is the last iteration of the renderings, many along the way, but this last batch, they're just insane.
The earlier renderings?
The earlier renderings are even worse.
You've seen them?
Yes, there were. They
published
some,
two. Yeah, they published two.
Right.
I was but wondering the ones, if there was.
Yeah.
I don't even consider those renderings. I consider those just like lies, you know, like AI lies. Yeah. Like, that was a real rendering.
But the last batch, according to our local media, these are the ones. This is the done deal. Let's talk about the Australian Opera House and the inspiration. I'm like, you're kidding. I literally spent 5 minutes in AI doing a better rendering than they did, because it's I don't know anything about baseball, but I know it must be harder to hit the little ball with the sun shining in your face. And every rendering they shared has the field facing where the sun sets. It's insanity. So they don't take anything they've talked about seriously. Bally's is the only one that's taken it seriously. But they are not serious people either, because they're building a casino in Chicago, and they have an $800 million shortfall. And they're now going to build a new resort for billions of dollars on the Tropicana site. It's insanity. It's whimsical stuff that the local media is just regurgitating. And a two-way person said they're demolishing the Tropicana to build a ballpark. It's utter nonsense. They were planning on demolishing the Tropicana for a decade before the A's ever got involved. And so anyone who makes that, who points at the Trop demolition as proof that the ballpark is going in, is just, they're just wrong. They're misguided. And they're saying that because that's what they're being told. But it's not based on any kind of reality, to be honest.
Can you tell us a little bit more about Bally's? Like, we don't, you know, I don't really know anything about the casino.
Yeah, aren't they selling their plot too? Or like their $300 million worth of land too? Or isn't that going up for sale?
It's a great question. Why would they sell? Why would there be discussions of the sale of the parking lot that Tropicana is going to become if they're building a new resort there? It's crazy. No, this company is kind of cobbled together. A lot of people confuse the fact that there was a Bally's hotel in Las Vegas, totally unrelated. They also think about Bally's, the slot machine manufacturer, unrelated. This Bally's Corp is this company that's kind of cobbled together. They have some casinos. One of the reasons they changed the name of Bally's to Horseshoe is because there was going to be some brand confusion if they built a resort on the site, because Bally's Corp wants to have a Bally's casino. So that's why Bally's Hotel changed to Horseshoe. But they do not have a huge record of success at Tropicana. It's a low-end, very low, I think it's profitable, but just barely. So they don't have the resources, because it's marginally successful casino company. But if you can't, you know, you can't even build this thing in Chicago. I think their casino's like in an old library or church or something. I don't know. It just sounds very
What's in the
kind of
old
cobbled together.
Shriners, the giant Shriners temple?
Yes. Okay. Temple. I mistook it for the other kind of temple. But yeah, no, they don't have a ton of credibility here. And all my casino sources are like, they're not a player. They just don't have the revenue to support these plans. I think what's happening with the A's and Bally's is they believe their own hype that, well, it's a shitty, you know, it's a shitty team and it's shitty ownership. But if you come to Vegas, something magical happens because there's tourists. And the fact that we got a dozen people at each game last season, we could get to 30,000 a game so easy. Well, if you ask them why, it's because, hello, Vegas. Like, Vegas is some magical place. You know, the Raiders have done well. So why couldn't we do that? Well, it's because the locals are fed up with their tax money going to public stadiums. You're jerking everyone's chain. You had a deal that was done for the old Wild Wild West site, right?
49 wow. acres, right? 49 acres, right?
Yes. Oh, it was a lock with Station Casinos. The union made a call. Some other people made a call. Like, that done deal wasn't done. So the A's, they're just not, you're not getting people rallied. And it's hard to root for a team that's not great. You know, Vegas was very excited about professional hockey, but they also won. They won some kind of cup or something a couple times, whatever. I don't really know that much about it. But apparently that was a big deal. But it also happened at a time when people are kind of, they were wrecked by the October 1 shooting. So now you've got a sports team and it kind of pulled the community together. There's no, that was lightning in a bottle. There's never going to be a situation like that again until maybe the NBA.
Well, I was going to say WNBA, the Aces are doing pretty well right now. I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention to that, right? I mean,
but is that a ladies sport?
Yeah, it's the women.
They have those?
Yeah, the WNBA team. Yeah, they've been doing good. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get an NBA team. Yeah. It's going to go on this Oakview site, which is south of the Strip. Number of possible owners mentioned, some of them famous basketball players. So we're going to get that team. That might be a situation, especially if it's a good team. Then we can get excited about sports again. But nobody's excited about the A's. And I think the A's are starting to realize, like, we'd rather go somewhere where we're appreciated. And if you hear them talk in Sacramento, they seem genuinely excited to have the team there. Because Sacramento aspires to be, you know, if you listen to what's the guy's name? I can never remember his name.
Vivek Ranadive, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's
Vivek.
Oh, Vivek. So yeah. Vivek, we'll go by first names. so he's all about, he's a booster of Sacramento, like our folks here about Vegas, about, you know, Steve Hill, the LVCBA, or someone like Derek Stevens, or these are all folks that are just like, let's make Vegas a world-class city. It's going to be, it's all about sports and entertainment, blah, blah, blah. So he seems like a really smart guy, smarter than anyone in the A's. So I think he is finessing this. He absolutely is following this narrative of, oh, we'd love to have the A's here because it'll help us. You know, when we start to talk about an expansion team, then we'll be next in line. I'm like, you're not going to need an expansion team. You're going to have the A's. And you're going to, it sounds like you do things right. Like, he built this other stadium, right, for the basketball team that was like state of the art and all this. So it sounds like he actually gets things done. And there's nobody here that's spearheading this project who's that level of success or competence or acumen. So it just sets the stage for them staying in Sacramento.
Scott, can you give us, can you give our like sort of listeners some of your background? Like, how did you get to know all these people and all these rooms, and you know, like, what's your background as a journalist and stuff. You know, I think we all just sort of know you as that humorous snarky Las Vegas
Twitter
you can
account.
Say, you can say smart ass, whatever you need.
Yeah. But we just sort of don't know who you are and, you know, how you got all this knowledge.
So I moved to Vegas about 20 years ago. I've had a number of jobs in marketing and writing and kind of a mishmash of things. I started working at a website called LasVegas.com. Then I started doing a blog for Caesars Entertainment, which is one of the bigger gaming companies here. Won a ton of awards. So, of course, they killed it. Because why would you want, link juice or revenue and like creative differences. So when I left, I'm like, why not start my own blog? Because it was kind of limiting, feeling like I could only write about Caesars Entertainment. So I started the Vital Vegas blog. I started working as a day job at Fremont Street Experience. So I kind of got to market all of downtown. That's why it's so popular now. And so just over time, I got some really good scoop multiple times from some really key sources. It was a short list. But now, just when you, I don't know why people give me this stuff, but I tend to break a lot of stories, including sports stories. Because speaking of the Aces, I'm the one that broke the story. They would be called the Aces. So that's kind of an example of where I've kind of, I don't love sports, but I inject myself into that conversation because Vegas is my beat. So I think I broke the story that the A's might come to Vegas, like before any of our sports reporters or any of our, you know, traditional journalists. I'm the one who said the Super Bowl was coming to Vegas this year. Like, I get those little tidbits and then people start watching, and then news outlets start watching, which is very helpful because then it just amplifies the message. But that's pretty much it. I like Vegas. I'm pretty much over it now. I've been doing it a decade, and I'm a writer and a humorist. I love to get back to doing that. I consider myself a humorist who writes about Vegas as the subject matter, but I'd love to try other subject matter because it's been pretty much 10 years of writing about Vegas. But I have friends who are very influential. Some of the sources are literally CEOs of the biggest companies in gaming and other industries. And I think some are nervous about me. So they, you know what I mean? Like they're nervous about what I'm going to say, but they realize there's a need to kind of stay in communication, and they realize the way to be on my good side is to give me good stuff. So there was I did a tweet a year or two ago that it moved the market cap of a gaming company by $1 billion with a B, at which point the CEO said, let's have lunch. You know, so I didn't intend to hurt anybody's stock, but I think they started seeing, like, holy crap, like financial folks in New York are watching the account. National and international media are watching the account. So that has definitely helped me, because when something comes up, I have those people on my phone. And if I don't break the story, I can still find out 10 things that the other person can't get. So again, long answer, short question, but that's pretty much it. I've always done writing. I had another life as a kind of straight up humorist. I had a site called dribbleglass.com, which was known for its funny billboards. I photoshopped billboards. They were viral back when the internet was new. So I've dabbled in a lot of things. That's why I'm not an expert in anything. I just talk to people who are experts. So it makes it sound like I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Well, so from what you're hearing, though, it sounds like people aren't willing to invest with John Fisher, right? Like, people don't want to get in, like, even the heavy hitter, like, not even the casinos, but just private, you know, rich individuals in Vegas. He doesn't have much support there. Is that from what you're hearing?
No takers. That's what I've heard is, you know, I assume in your world, people either know or could guess that he was looking for a minority owner. You know, he I think wants to try and sell minority ownership in the team, there are no takers, because I think all they have to do is meet with them. They the only people he can get to agree with his take on what could happen are the people he's paying, like Applied Analysis, where they're talking about all these projections of revenue, tax revenue.
Yeah, Jerry, I mean, for the record.
It just gets old. And it doesn't matter how many times this guy's called out for being wrong, for, you know, with F1, it's a perfect example. They only shared
$1.5 billion, F1.
That was exactly right. And he's paid to fluff up the numbers, but you can't just show, you know, I tweeted about this, like you can't just show one column on the sheet. There's debits and credits, right? There's a cost and benefit to everything. You can't just show what the benefits were, whatever that number was, and it wasn't 1.5 billion, but whatever that number was, you have to deduct 9 months of disruption to traffic, to businesses that have said, I lost millions of dollars, to shows that lost $500,000 just on the F1 weekend. Like, you can't ignore those costs. So it's not so much that he also fabricates numbers, but that's because he's being paid to do that. He's a booster for the people he works for, which is like the LVCVA.
Scott,
it gets
I
old.
If you'll find that if you look at the numbers, the president of F1 paid himself $1.5 billion. So $1.5 billion was moved from one account to a different account by the same guy. And you'll find that, in fact, all the numbers, you know, add up. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, and I've always said this, because if for folks that might not know, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, they're the agency, they're paid by tax money from room taxes. They are paid to promote and advance Las Vegas, like in the world stage, to drive convention business, to build the reputation of Las Vegas, and to bring big events to Las Vegas, like NPR or whatever. So they hire this analyst to say, you know, we're thinking about this event. How much impact will this have? Is the Super Bowl good or bad for Vegas? Well, some of those numbers are concrete, because you can see reports of revenue, you can see room occupancy and things like that. But there's so many intangibles. Those numbers are rarely reliable. And because there's just the one analyst doing the numbers, and nobody in the media or in the financial world is questioning them, they just accept it as fact. This is F1 is the first time I've seen an independent kind of group or company or publication say, these numbers are not based on facts. You've missed it by a substantial amount. It's the first time I've ever seen that happen, because nobody questions these numbers. It's like when the airport says, yeah, 52 million passengers this month. That's not true. There were not 52 million passengers, because if you land and take off, you're two passengers. But nobody questions it. Everybody in the local media is like, 52 million passengers. Holy cow. It's not factually accurate. Or that's just a term the airline industry uses for, you know, if somebody's passing through, that's a passenger, two passengers. I don't know. But I only know the surface level of all these subjects. I'm a generalist. I only know enough to be a smart ass. And then people are like, well, do you have better numbers than Jeremy Aguero? And I'm like, no, I just know they're wrong. I'm not an analyst. I can tell bullshit.
Yeah.
And I know what where the bullshit's coming from and why it happens. So, but I don't have a team of people who can break down those numbers. You know who should? The Las Vegas Review-Journal, our paper of record. You should have journalists going, these are very questionable numbers. They're promoting an agenda, and the agenda is that sports help Vegas. Well, the Super Bowl does, but nobody knows if F1 does. And I'm on the team of people saying it hurt more than it helped. So
Well, it seems like Mick Akers of the Review Journal is in Cavill's pocket as well. It seems like he's pretty much lockstep with their PR message. It seems like he's pretty much saying whatever he wants the A's to say, you know? And that's kind of surprising to me because I always thought, you know, the paper of record, but it seems like, no, they're just bought off as well, right? I mean, yeah.
I don't think, like, bought off, not like financially, but in Vegas, the way it works, and the A's, it applies in this situation too, is if you want access, you can't rock the boat. And it's the reason I'm blacklisted at a number of venues by a number of casinos, not like 86th officially, but you're on their shit list basically. Because if Akers says something where he has his own opinion about something, they'll just cut him off. So that next phone call he wants to make to the owner of the team, they're not going to take it. So now you've lost access to key people that you want to be able to talk to. But, you know, Johnny Katz is another one. Johnny Kleptomides here in Vegas. He cannot say a negative word about a show because you'll lose access to performers, to directors. Same in the restaurant world. You can't have an opinion about restaurants because the chef will never talk to you. You'll never. And sometimes an entire resort, they'll blacklist you for something you said about a restaurant because they're all in the same family, right? So the next time I don't get invited to restaurant openings for the most part. I don't get invited to show openings because they know if I go and it's not good, I'm going to say it. So they're kind of stuck, and it's easy to, you know, like these journalists, they're not paid very much. And the Las Vegas Review Journal just does not have very high journalistic standards, to be honest. They don't have any real editorial guidance. A lot of stuff they do is really unethical.
Adelson's, right?
Yes. And they say they're not.
Bought it, they fired a ton of people, right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people
tried
quit.
To keep it a secret. They tried to keep it a secret that they had bought it. It was like really shady, right?
It was shady. A lot of people just left outright. And those were all the people with experience and talent and integrity, because the reporters are going to do what they're going to do, but it's the management level and the editors who are really in charge of journalistic integrity and not being beholden to anybody. But it's a failing, you know, newspapers are a failing business. They lose $1 million a year at least, that the Adelsons just suck up because they like owning a newspaper and they might need them at some point. But they, you know, they lost all the seasoned journalists and editors. There was an exodus. So now we have nothing. Las Vegas Sun is not a player. Any of these, there's no, yeah, it's really bad. So when it, you know, schmoozers like the A's come into town.
There's another outlet that's published a lot of more critical, I think, John Raw.
Oh, the Nevada Independent?
Yeah, Nevada Ralston. Independent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
It seems like they're actually a good paper.
Yeah, they cover the subject of politics very thoroughly and some sports. It's like a nonprofit. It's not like a traditional journalistic outlet. I think they criticized me at one point, so I don't read it anymore. I blacklisted them.
That goes two ways. Scott, so I'm curious if say Schools Over Stadiums gets this referendum actually pushed through, we hear back in the next couple of weeks how the judges decided down there. How do you think a referendum would do in front of the Nevada public? Because I've seen a couple of I've seen a couple of those polls that, you know, I don't know who's running those polls, but it seems like 50 no, 30 yes, and 20 ambivalent. Is that kind of
they can't let that succeed because they know if you take this to voters, it will be killed. So I think it's all moot. Because you're not gonna need this money for a ballpark that doesn't exist and won't exist. But it, I don't know, that organization, they don't have a lot of pull. To me, it's just kind of a distraction from the what's really happening is if it went through for whatever reason. Like, there's been a lot of really important things that have not made it through this process because democracy doesn't really work for the most part. So if you let voters decide if they're going to contribute to a ballpark, it'll be killed. So now you got the A's going, we thought we were getting this, whatever, $400 million, and now we're not. Well, if you thought we weren't coming to Vegas before, we're definitely, and they could use it as an excuse to not come. And then it'll be like, oh, we didn't pull the rug out from anything. They took away our public funding. So whatever path they take to Sacramento, I think that the public funding thing is, there are very powerful forces at work. And the people that want the team are not going to let that get to a public vote, I don't think. That's my two cents. There's, you know, it was like kind of like the case with the Wild Wild West site. There are powerful forces. When the union makes a call to an official or to somebody involved with a deal, the deal changes, because that's a lot of voters who are members of that union, and the union will push. This is the culinary union. They will push. So they've been battling Station Casinos for years. Well, Station Casinos was the one that was going to provide that space on the Wild Wild West site. The union was having none of it. They're like, you are not getting anything here because you're anti-union. So those phone calls, they swayed. Those things happen behind the scenes. You won't really hear about it in the local media, but that's how decisions get made in Vegas. It's a phone call from somebody powerful or influential. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sheldon Adelson made some phone calls in his day, but the Las Vegas Convention Center got an expansion, even though I think he kicked the door in because he was so upset that they were going to spend money on that because it competed with the Sands Expo. So the calls don't always land and have the effect they want, but quite often that's how deals get done.
And I got one more thing I want to ask. I know we're running over a little bit, but
no, and so, my power's running out. So if I go dark, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. But my understanding was that Bally's and GLPI, they were basically essentially giving the A's 100 in free rent as well, right? That was part of the deal in the stadium deal with Las Vegas. Is that right? And so if Bally's leaves, does that mean that the A's have to find, are they on the hook for this $180 million? Is that a whole other thing that would open up here? Or how would that work out?
That's a really great question, because I don't know if I saw that element of the deal. Because anybody on that site would be paying rent to the owner, which is how all of Las Vegas works now. I'm not sure if people even know that, but these big casino companies, they don't own the land under their casinos. It's all owned by a couple of big REITs, real estate investment trusts, right? Mm-hmm. And the owner of the Tropicana site is a REIT. And so basically anybody above ground operates the business, the casino, whatever it is. So in this case, presumably that the A's would be a tenant of this property owner. I don't remember anything about the rent, but the answer is, they wouldn't be dealing with Bally's Corp. They would be dealing with the REIT about rent.
Is that GLPI, the Gaming Leisure Property Incorporated? Okay, yeah.
Yes, which is it's a REIT that's an offshoot of Penn Gaming, I mm-hmm. believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they. I'm sure that the land owner is very excited about having a ballpark there, but I don't think they're putting out any cash. So deferring rent or giving the rent free, or I don't know why they would do that unless they could collect it from Bally's Corp. The landowner is not going to give anything away for free. But sorry, I don't know too much about that aspect of the deal. But mm-hmm. it's all a little moot because Bally's is not going to be a part of the equation for much longer, and the REIT is not going to put any cash into building anything. So it means, Should the A's move to Vegas, unlikely. If they build a ballpark on the Trop site, unlikely. It will be in partnership with another company instead of Bally's Corp, but nobody's going to do it because it's a money-losing proposition, because if you're building a hotel to generate the revenue you need to make all this worthwhile, you have to build up. And you're right next to the airport, so the FAA height limitation means you cannot build up. So no smart operator, it's not going to be MGM, because MGM doesn't own anything. They operate casinos. They don't own anything. They call it an asset light strategy. So who's going to do it? It would have to just be a magnanimous billionaire who wanted to flush money. And I don't know, billionaires have money to burn, but they're not going to dump money into a hotel resort where they can't make money. And you can't make money from a ballpark on this land. You have to have a resort attached. So it's all very complicated, but it all leads me to believe that none of this is real. None of it is going to happen. And you got these people, all these experts saying 100% done deal. Absolutely. I'm like, no. If the A's ever come to Vegas, unlikely, they'll go to Rio because they're going to give them the space for a dollar. Much better location, much better infrastructure. And so there's a million permutations, but none of them lead me to think that the A's are going to have a ballpark on the Tropicana site, or that there will be a casino resort on the Tropicana site. We're getting a parking lot instead of a crappy casino. And that is my two cents, for what it's worth.
I love it. I mean, it's funny because the A's are still holding on to this 2028 opening day. And I'm just like, dude, I don't know. There's no way. I don't know how the hell that happens, you know?
So, I mean, if they upgrade this minor league baseball team in Sacramento, their little ballpark, there's been talk of them doing upgrades, new lockers, who knows? They could just transition very easily. If they start building in Sacramento, there's a chance that by 2028 they could have their ballpark in order. They would just be. I think the plan is to build something new, but I think that timeline could hold. But at some point they have to wake up and go, yeah, that, you know, they've just been cagey about the whole thing, so it's hard to take any of it seriously, timeline or not. But if they see success in Sacramento, it's a done deal. That's the done deal. Vegas is not a done deal. I think Sacramento is a done deal.
Wow.
So please start calling them the Sacramento A's so I can take credit for very influential sports podcasters talking about the Sacramento A's.
So influential, yeah. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Great,
Hal.
Chatting, guys.
You got anything else, Hal? Or are you good?
Scott, it has truly been a journey listening to your predictions. I don't know what the hell to believe now that I've been listening to you. It was so kind of you to come and join us.
Because Hal was coming in, he's like, I don't believe. Hal's like, I don't know. He's like, I still think they're going to Vegas. That's what Hal was thinking before. But
anything could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen. I wouldn't rule anything out 100%, because that's, you know, that would be foolish to say anything 100%. But you're talking about a team owner who is committed to not putting in a penny of his own money. So now you have to figure out who's paying for this thing. There's nobody in Vegas paying for it. He's not paying for it. So where does that money come from? $400 million is not going to pay for a ballpark. And you can't just build a ballpark on this land. It has to be a ballpark in conjunction with a resort. Who's going to pay to build a resort? Nobody. There's nobody coming in. There's no angel investor. There's nobody with a vested interest in it happening or the means to make it happen. I'm sorry. But you know a lot more than I do, so
I don't think so.
I'm gonna keep listening to your podcast. Because you're much more passionate about the team. I originally said they were going to stay in Oakland. And if I don't think it's 100%, they wouldn't stay in Oakland. So what do I know? I think it's all been one big bargaining chip to see if Oakland would raise the stakes to try and keep them. But I think Sacramento wins or loses, depending on how you feel about the A's.
Thanks a lot to Scott Rogan for that awesome interview. We're still buzzing off of it. That was great. That was awesome. He just jumped right into it, and he seems tapped into me. You know, we're talking about this. I mean, so I mean, it's I mean, 90-10 split though. It seems pretty strong, but hey, I don't know. I mean, I like we were talking about this offline. Like he doesn't know anything about sports. Like a lot of A's fans don't like John Fisher because he doesn't sign free agents. But this guy's just hearing from big wigs in Vegas that John Vegas is a joker. So I don't know.
John Vegas is a joker.
Did I say John Vegas is a joker? Okay. John Fisher. John Fisher is a joker. I don't know.
Joker is a Fisher.
So what do you make of that conversation, Hal?
Dude, I mean, there was a lot of fun listening to it. I'll say that. It was fun listening to it. If, like, half of what he says is true, that's insane. Right? Like, that's insane.
Like what? Like what parts? Like are you having trouble with? Like I don't know. It seems believable to me. It seems believable. Like that like, people don't want to invest with Fisher. You know? Like I
no, Alex. What I'm saying it's insane is like not that he's insane. It's just that like it is insane that we live in this world where you know where a baseball owner can walk into this like place where there's just billions of dollars flowing all over the place and he can't find anybody to invest in. Like, oh man, dude, oh god, these people are idiots.
But also it sounds like Bally's was not the right partner to get in with because they're it's pretty not, yeah because they're like $800 million in the hole. I don't know,
can I say this, Alex? I just found this out during this episode when I was googling Bally's. I've always heard because Scott, he was saying, oh, they're not that Bally's. They're not the other Bally's. They're not the Bally's you've heard of. And I was like, what? What does he mean? And I Googled Bally's. And it was like, it was a company like, gosh, let me look this up again. Because
the company. Well, I should have asked him too, because there's Bally Sports, and I don't know if that's.
It's different.
Yeah.
So this is what I was Googling. Okay, Bally's Corporation. So the company was founded in 2004 as BLB Investors. It eventually changed its name to Twin River Worldwide Holdings.
I think I've
so
heard
it was
of that.
Just, it was just a holding company. In 2020, only 4 years ago, the name acquired the rights to the Bally's brand from Caesars Entertainment and changed its own name to Bally's Corporation. They weren't Bally's or anything. They just bought the name and changed their name to it.
That's just so weird. Yeah.
I always thought there was just this long running, you know.
Well, because there used to be, like he was saying, there was a Bally's Hotel. I stayed at Bally's Hotel a few years ago. Like, it's just like right in the middle of the strip. And yeah, totally different company. Yeah. So.
So weird, man. I mean, like,
I actually didn't realize that either. Yeah.
Yeah, that city's so weird. Scott, what a character. I mean, what an insane character. I love him to death. Anyway,
it's good. It brings the Twitter feed to life. You know,
brings the Twitter feed to life.
He's a great follow. Follow him on Twitter at Vital Vegas. Great follow on Twitter.
Hopium. It's just hopium. You know, just hopium. But
well, I mean, they're leaving. I think the hardest part for Oakland A's fans is just knowing, like, if you're in the power rank, the Sacramento Vegas. Oakland is still a number three on the power rankings, you know? Like it's
oh yeah, definitely. But you know, I think it failing in Vegas would be like better. It certainly means that like John Fisher might have to sell. And if he has to sell, like Joe Lacob can make him an offer, you know. Is it going to beat Vivek?
Probably. Yeah, I wonder because all the teams approved to move to, all the 29 other teams approved to move to Vegas, and if that deal blows up, then they're going to be like, all right, because I saw a quote. Somebody, I guess, was talking in one of these stories about Rob Manfred recently. He's saying, it's time for Rob to shit or get off the pot. Or it's time for Oakland to shit or get off the pot. Like, that's what some executive told, I think it was Tim Kuhn in the story.
Listen, yeah. You know, it's, we'll see. But one last thing I want to end with. We had oral arguments in Nevada for schools over stadiums. I listened to most of it. It was like really frustrating to listen to. You know, it sounded like they definitely had more questions for the schools over stadiums guy, but that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. We'll see, you know, we'll see. We're hoping next week we'll hear. And if that works, you know, if that doesn't work out, it's going to be a big disappointment. But if it does work out, like, that's when, you know, we all got to get on the bat phone with every billionaire that you know who's also an
Yeah, just call up my Rolodex of
dude, Alex, just fucking call all the billionaires, you know, who are A's fans. How many times do I have to tell you? Just call them and ask them to donate $1 million to schools over stadiums so they can get this on the ballot, because obviously the state of Nevada would vote against it. Okay, that's all I got for you now.
Another
I think
thing,
it's time to say goodnight.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just wild to me that this team is worth maybe $2 billion and Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 million. It's like, dude, you could have just, I mean, I don't know if I want Elon owning the A's, but you know. Probably not. Turn the whole team into AI.
That guy is an insane lunatic.
Oh, dude, that was a great interview though. I loved it. So
yeah.
Who knows? We'll see what happens. Yeah. Thanks a lot to Scott Robin. Check his stuff out at Vital Vegas, casino.org/VitalVegas. And of course, you get 10% off at Ricky Block. Or at Last Dive Bar, use the code Ricky Block. Yeah. So all right, guys. Check it out. See you next week. Or later this week.